Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Tuesday. The Super Bowl's in the books. We're going to talk about that. But more important than the Super Bowl, I've got the legend, Wayne Breezy. How are we doing today, Wayne? I like that hoodie, by the way.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Football's officially over, and things can slow down a little bit, I guess. I mean, there's always stuff going on in the 49ers community, so... That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We can't sleep. We got to sleep with one eye open, you know.
Dude, it just like it's like, "Oh man, finally just chill off season. We got the Brock Purdy. It's going to get done." Nope. Deebo trade, losing GM candidates, it just never stops, man. And yeah. I'm not upset about it, but I do like calm, cool, collected, which just does not happen in this 49ers universe, sadly. It's always mayhem, I feel like. It's just like, and another one. It just keeps going.
I mean, you could take it as a good thing, you could take it as a bad thing, but like I said, it's always good to be relevant. Like, you know what I mean? I think the day of the Super Bowl, when Rap Sheet reported that, Ian Rappaport reported that, you know, I'm just like, man, like, on a day that doesn't include the San Francisco 49ers, we are and we remain the most relevant franchise in the history of the NFL. Like, you know, and that was the Deebo news, right? Like, and then after that, all hell broke loose. And then, you know, Schefter came out and said that Deebo requested a trade, and it was just like, dang. So it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, and Debo's your guy too. Like, you guys same birthday, right?
I love Deebo Samuel, man. You know, I love him. But you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, I'm understanding. Is the more I get, the more involved I get with these players as far as with contracts and how certain players and positions kind of like pan out in the NFL, I start to understand stuff. So I get the lingo. This could be just a contract negotiation phase for Deebo Samuel, which it sounds like that's what it is, because he knows that the Niners aren't going to trade him pre-June 1st, because that's a big number on the dead cap hit, right? Now
it's so messed up with the March 22nd, he gets another $15 million. But if you trade him before, then you're taking $31 million plus.
This is a strategic move by Tory Dandy, correct?
Facts. Debo's going to control his narrative, no matter what.
Like, that was the whole point, and what probably took that contract negotiation the first time, like, to get set in place. Like, Deebo wants control of the narrative, right? Like, that's what this is all control from the wide receiver side. Now the fan base isn't gonna like it, but at the end of the day, these players are playing for contracts, right? Like, they're playing for their livelihood. So I get where they're coming from, and I'm not saying that just because it's Deebo. Like, it could be anybody. We're not getting this from George Kittle, because I feel like Kittle's more of a need for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, these tight ends are rare to find. You can find another wide receiver. You know what I mean? So, it's also a different contract situation, right? Like, Kittle doesn't have the guarantees. His contract's expiring next year, but he has a high cap hit this year. His cap hit, he's the biggest cap hit on the 49ers in 2025. I don't think people are talking about that.
And he's not even going to be playing for us, and he's still going to be the biggest cap hit. That's the way it goes. Paul, look at Paul. Appreciate you, brother. He says, "Go to Miss Deebo." Like Breezy said, we were the main story on Super Bowl Sunday. I love it. Mosquito killer. I just can't. Why is it every time contract comes around, Deebo got to go extra? Deebo's just extra in everything. Like, it's his shoes at Golden State games. It's just extra.
I just think that's who he is. But I don't get the extra part. Like, you know what I mean? Him requesting a trade, is that what we're saying is extra? Because if that is the extra part, then, I mean, this is part of the negotiation phase, right? When you're left on the deal, $15 million guarantee, $15 million cash or whatever, I feel like there's no really serious guarantees on this deal. I feel like it's kind of like out, right? He gets the $15 million in cash. You talked about the March 22nd thing, and he's looking for that next contract, right? And so, like, the Niners aren't extending Debo. They can, but I don't think the Niners are going to extend Debo.
Not with those four void years already on there.
Like, see what I'm saying? Because he restructured, right? Oh, shoot. That's right. And so, like, now I'm thinking he knows he's expendable. The next thing that the Niners would do is say, all right, man, would you be willing to take a pay cut? Stay here?
I think that already happened. I think that's why Debo's doing what he's doing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Again, all conjecture. I have no proof.
No, but it makes sense. And that was the what do you call that?
They were like, "Hey, man,
what is disrespect?" I think Debo felt a little disrespected. You know, especially if that number is low. It's not just coming in saying, "Hey, man, would you mind taking the pay cut?" The next question would be like, "John, hey, John, would you mind taking the pay cut going into this next season?" Your next question is going to be, what's the pay cut? what's the number? And we already know how the Niners roll when they go to pay cut. Now, Juice took the pay cut, but Juice understood, whatever. But Eric Armstead didn't take the pay cut, and it was a substantial low amount.
He went and got paid.
And he went and got paid. I think that's the trajectory Debo Samuel's on right now. Remember I said he would be this year's Eric Armstead? I said that. Debo will be this year's Eric Armstead. And I think that's the route that it's going for the
going that way. Shout out to my man David. We've been emailing back and forth. He knows what he's talking about here. And he had this awesome idea. No more big second contracts for wide receivers. Draft them young, rinse, repeat. They're just too damn pricey. We are paying more at the wide receiver position than any team in the NFL currently. And we're about to be paying $30 million plus for a guy that's not even on our roster. I don't think the initial Debo deal was a bad deal. I think the restructure caught us. That one hurt.
And we didn't win.
And we didn't win. And I think the Ayuk deal was terrible. I will stand by that. I still think that Ayuk deal is terrible. I hope he comes back and balls out. You know, you've got him for five more years now, which is nice. But, yeah, I'm with David here. That wide receiver position is too overvalued at its current state. And unless you have somebody like a JJ, a Chase, and I think that's maybe about it, I kind of am adapting into this. Man, I don't want to pay more wide receivers. I just don't.
I feel like the wide receivers are becoming kind of like what we did for the running backs. But the market is the market. Like, yeah. we can't be mad at the market. The market
we're setting the freaking market over and over and over again.
No, we're not. We're really not. Think about it. Like, you have these wide receivers that are getting paid. There's wide receivers in the league that aren't better than some of the players that are on our team as far as value, and they're setting the market. Like, the market is the issue. Like, every time the market gets reset by a different wide receiver, like, you just gave me two, and is Tyreek Hill on the decline? Is Amon-Ra St. Brown on the incline? Like, he didn't have a great season this past year, but he got paid. Nobody's talking about him. And I know it's because he's not our guy, but let's just talk. If we're talking about wide receivers in general, it was kind of like a down year. It was Jamar Chase, then Justin Jefferson, then whoever else you feel like was 3, 4, and 5. And so, like, that's just how the cookie crumbles, man. And we can have this conversation and flip it to George Kittle. George Kittle was the best tight end in the NFL last year. Who's coming on the last year of his deal?
And he's not even making half of what Debo's making this year. Not even half.
Is that true? Because why 16? Is his cap hit so high?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's restructured every single year. But his APY, I want to make sure I get this right. I think it's like 16 to 18 million.
And what is Debo's APY? Because I thought it was only 15 million.
Oh, man. Here we go. All right. I want to make sure we get this right. So let's go to Kittle. Let's do George Kittle first. His APY is $15 million per year. That's his average per year. Mm-hmm. Debo Samuel was in the 20s, 24. So,
but Debo, that's the average per year, but that's not what he's getting this year.
Right. Cap hit. All I care about is cap. I don't care about the cash. I know the players care about the cash.
Okay. That's what we're talking. Because a lot of people are getting all this language confused.
Because, it's $15 million right now, but March 22nd is going to be $31 million. For Debo. So as soon as that hits, and again, if you cut him, then, whenever you cut him or trade him or whatever, the post-June 1, pre-June 1, all that stuff. Now, Kittle's cap hits $22 million right now.
Correct, which is the highest on the team.
It won't be after March 22nd.
Right, because the, right, he's probably
right
going to get extended.
Right now, you are 1,000% correct.
Okay, but I want people to put in perspective, like, he has the highest cap hit, which is why he's going to be a priority of extension. They're not going to restructure him. It's extending him, mm-hmm. right? Because Kittle.
Do you think they should do that? I think that they should extend Kittle.
I think they should extend Kittle because, again, we're talking about finding a player that's kind of like irreplaceable. Like, there are no more George Kittles. There are never any George Kittles, right? There are no more Deebo Samuels either, but you can find another wide receiver to give you production. It's harder to find those tight ends that can block and give you production on an elite all-pro level. And I think that's the issue. Plus, Kittle has more all-pros than than Deebo Samuels. So I get that. I understand he's older. I understand all of that. But we're talking like 2-3 year extension. So I say do it. Lessen the cap. It's up to Kittle, though, at the end of the day. It's up to Kittle.
I think he wants to stay. And, like, that's, again, I think going back to what Dave said, like, I want to extend devalued positions, tight end, linebackers, running backs, safeties. I want those cheap ones. I don't want to always extend top of the market guys unless they're difference makers. I put wide receiver in that. Quarterback, yeah, you got to pay a quarterback.
Got to pay the quarterback. End,
if they're elite, I think Nick Bosa is elite, so I'm fine with that as well. And so I don't know. I think it's just interesting team building wise. Now, the show, and kind of what we want to talk about, is lessons learned from the Super Bowl. What did the Eagles do?
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
The Eagles, yeah, they've extended not one but two wide receivers.
And it worked.
They've extended a quarterback, and it worked. In the draft, they went D-line.
Right. So I don't know why people are saying that we can't have two receivers making $30 million. It doesn't make sense. Because financially you can, even after you pay the quarterback, and then you draft in the trenches.
The Niners just didn't do the last part.
Well, they could do it. They could start now.
Yeah.
But and Deebo's contract is expiring after this season anyway. So they can reset that, right? move on from Debo. They got Pearsall. They'll probably draft another wide receiver. We don't really know what Cowan is going to amount to. They could sign another receiver in free agency, which I wouldn't recommend unless it's a veteran, vet minimum type deal, right? And so they can still fix it and pay Purdy the $50, $60 million that he's going to get. But you can pay these guys. But to be fair, the Eagles don't have a George Kittle.
No. I think Dallas Goddard's good.
No, I'm talking about pay-wise.
Gotcha.
I don't think they're paying Goddard like we're paying Kittle.
I do agree. I want to look because I don't know. I just turned my caps lock on. That is a pet peeve. I got to turn that off. Dallas Goddard, $14.2 million per year. He's within 1 million.
He's top paid tight end. Because I think the biggest, if I'm not mistaken, Kelsey, big cap hit. He might get released. Then Kittle. Now Goddard. I didn't know Goddard was making that.
And to make this even more complicated, Goddard's in the last year of his deal as well.
Oh, shoot.
So now you've got Kittle and Goddard. Both.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is fun.
This is going to be interesting.
I love these conversations because, Wayne, you ask the right questions because we are narrow focused. We're both wearing red and gold. And Residency, by the way, also go to residency.com. Use code SFBreezy for the best gear, best hat. Look at us. Oof. You ain't going to look as good as
Wayne.
We
got hoodies and shirts, too, now. So, like, you could definitely residency up now if you choose to.
I don't have one. I got to get one.
Me too.
I love those guys. So, anyway, we're getting this broader perspective because this is how the agents and the players all compare their things. So, let's go back to this. Let's talk Super Bowl. Because, man, shout out to Vic Fangio. And when people always ask me, like, oh, who are you rooting for? All this different stuff. I'm rooting for Vic Fangio. I love Vic Fangio. Always have loved him. I think what he did was awesome. People are saying he's the MVP and all that kind of stuff. But here's what's kind of crazy. And shout out to Kyle Posey because I was thinking the same thing. But I always get so much pushback whenever I try to put anything pro Wilkes out there, who's now going to be a defensive coordinator for the Jets, by the way. But here's what's crazy to me. Shout out to Kyle Posey. The Eagles held the Chiefs their first 10 possessions to 0 points.
Mm-hmm.
We did the exact same thing last season in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
First 10 possessions, they scored 0 points. The only difference was the 49ers only mustered 10 offensive points. Meanwhile, the Eagles were already at 34.
Okay. And so I'm glad you're talking about this. Let's have the conversation.
Yeah, let's have fun.
Let's have the conversation because let's not act like the Eagles' defense wasn't playing on level 100. Hold on. The Eagles' defense got a pick six. That changes the whole dichotomy of a game. That changes everything. Did the Niners' defense get a pick six, by the way? I'm just curious. The turnover battle was even because we turned it over with the Christian McCaffrey fumble, which nobody talks about anymore for the rest of the life. I don't get it. But at the end of the day, we got the ball back when we forced Mecole Harmon to fumble the ball. So it kind of evened out right there. But we're talking about turnover battles opposed to defenses scoring off of turnovers. And that right there was a whole game changer. Now, could the Chiefs have recovered from that? For sure. But they weren't running the ball. They were getting
it completely.
Listen, you know what? I understand what Kyle was saying, Mr. Posey. I understand what he's saying. But come on, man, we all watch the game. We all know what turnovers do. They deflate teams. Shit. Sorry. Good words, Wayne. we were fine until Dre Greenlaw got injured. You want to have a conversation? And so, yes, he's 100% correct. Our offense couldn't muster up anything. We had to create a trick play because their defense was on par. But let's not act like Chris Jones didn't get injured in the game and either and miss the rest of the game.
Yep. That's what happened to us, happened to them.
It's a lot of context. And now, listen, I'm not rooting for the Chiefs or the Eagles, but I'm just saying there's a lot of context into why the Chiefs probably struggled against that crazy defense. I'm all about building the defense. Our defense, as good as the defense was, wasn't the Eagles' defense. I'm sorry.
Well, It was crazy. They gave up more points. The Eagles gave up more points to them than we did. They held them to 19. They scored 22 on the Eagles.
We talking because we were fighting tooth and nail to the end to try to win the game, and they put their backup players in the game in the whole fourth quarter because they were up by 97,000 points. Like, come on. We know how that worked. But you're right. Statistically wise, you're 100% correct. I'm just saying it's a lot of context that got to go into that. And do we factor Kyle Shanahan for abandoning? We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't run it either.
Guess what? We averaged more yards per run than the Eagles.
That's what I'm saying. They ran it
45 times though.
They didn't abandon the run. We abandoned the run. Yes. The Chiefs ran the ball, got positive yards, and didn't run it again. Can't figure it out. So I'm just saying, like, I just feel like the Niners need to fix that defense. Because when it matters the most, and we could talk about the offense being stagnant, but we've watched Super Bowls where the offenses just aren't explosive and the defenses are the ones that got to carry the team or do something to jolt the offense. I think Philly's defense jolted that offense. It allowed Philly to play free. It allowed them to play loose. And they were able, they were up, what, 27-0? And they go for a bomb. Come on, man. If that score was 27-24, they're not play action bombing down the field. They're playing more safe. They're playing more conservative. They're playing to win. They're not going to go for that particular type of play. It was all scenario based. I think the Chiefs put themselves in some pretty bad scenarios, just like the San Francisco 49ers put themselves in bad scenarios. And offensively, we couldn't get it going against that team. We just couldn't. First and 10, first and 20s, first and 15s. Like these crazy scenarios where you can't run the ball. Even if you wanted to, you're not running on first and 15. First and 20. I mean, you can, but we know the script sheets. We know the score. All right, what's the first and 20 run? What's the play call? And if we get stopped, it's going to be second.
Screen or whatever. Yeah.
You got to run something where you spread out the wide receivers, you leave a single back, and you hope he can get you 5 yards. Then it's second and 15. And that's still long. Now you got to throw short. It's just the Niners set themselves up for dumb stuff. That's why they couldn't really execute. And I'm not trying to take away from the Chiefs defense.
No, that's not what this is at all.
But I just feel like the Niners, you know, what we watched in this Super Bowl was kind of like what we saw. Like the Eagles defense was the energy. They were the jolt. Once Dre Greenlaw left that football field, that energy from the Niners last year in the Super Bowl was gone. It was like a ghost town in the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. And I think, you know, shout out to Invader. I've been going through the game call scripts for the Eagles. Rush four only. They blitzed twice. A lot of people are saying they never blitzed. They blitzed twice. They brought five twice. But rush four, get home, and they stayed in quarters coverage. They stayed in two high safety looks, quarters coverage. Niners have gotten away from this. Robert Saleh has gotten away from this as well. Like, not that they don't run quarters, but Fangio just stayed two high safety. We dare you to run. They got behind. They abandoned the run and just kind of played into the hands of the Philly defense. I just want to always put out the thing of, look, people, like, let me say this. Wilkes got fired after holding the Chiefs to 19 points in regulation to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, Vic Fangio's the MVP and whatever. And I'm just saying there's not that much difference between the two. Now, we forced six fumbles. They got all of them back. But one, like, those things matter. And so when people, like, I guess what I'm trying to push back against is this win it all or bust, Super Bowl or bust. And I'm like, whoa, that's not how the NFL or sports work in general. It's a game of nuance and context, and sometimes
the
ball don't bounce your way.
It's a game of nuance.
Facts. I believe that.
If I was to rename
my podcast, it would be 49ers Nuance.
I like that.
Something like that, because I hate the idea of, and again, you turn on, you know, whatever letter media sports show, and they're just like, who's the best? Who's the worst? They suck. They're the greatest. And it's just like, that's all horse shit. Pardon my friend, right. Like, that is not the way sports works. And so, I don't know. You get fired for holding the Chiefs 19 points in the Super Bowl. Nobody likes you. And then you hold the team to 22 points, and you're the greatest defensive coordinator in the NFL. And I'm just like, man, I think it's somewhere in between. Now, we got to talk defensive line. I did a fake mock draft.
It was the best damn mock draft you ever did.
And all I did was I picked edge, D-tackle, edge, D-tackle. And I just went all 10 picks or all D-line. I put it out there. And people didn't understand. I was joking. And people are like in my DM saying, dude, how stupid are you? We have to. And I'm like, whoa, dude,
bro,
it's a joke.
Listen, if you don't put five offensive linemen in your mock draft, it's a fail. You know, for the 13th best offensive line in the NFL, you know what I'm saying? However you want to pan it out, stats are stats. We can't be looking at stats one time, and then when the stats come back and the results say, hey, we were top 15 in offensive line. We could be better, but the stats say we were top 15 ranked offensive line. Like, I mean, John, I mean, I just feel I trust. Now that the Niners finally got a pick right, You know how sometimes you'll do something wrong over and over again, but when you get it right, you figured out that formula, and now you know what the formula or the key to success is going to be. With drafting a guy like Dominic Pooney, I think Chris Forrester's best draft pick that he's ever received, ever, like ever, right? And so I think you're starting to see the shift of Forrester really zoning in on the guys that he needs to fit his particular style of offense of the zone scheme run. John, I don't care what you say. When we drafted Aaron Banks, I hated the fucking pick. He was not
even on my board.
He wasn't fitting zone run. That was the demise of the offensive line, and he's never been good. He's had a good game or two, but he's never been the guy because he was just not the right type. And I felt like we went away from the right guys built for this line. I think now they got Pooney right, and I think they got that formula. And when I was at the Senior Bowl, I was scouting guys that fit the Pooney mold. Not the best left tackle, not the best right tackle, the best offensive lineman.
And they use that language a lot. Well, we like him in a lot of places. We like his versatility, and we just think he's a good football player. And so shout out to you for, you know, diving in. What's the being John Malkovich? You're in the John Lynch headspace. But yeah, okay, so let's go that, because I think the number one thing that we got to learn is lack of offensive line killed the Chiefs. Awesome offensive line helped the Eagles. Awesome defensive line helped the Eagles. And when Chris Jones went out, defensive game plan was gone for the Chiefs. So O-line, D-line is the priority. You were at the Senior Bowl, and I saw you put out on Twitter that you really do think that the first overall pick for the 49ers, who are picking 11, and shout out, I got to go back. Here we go. Shout out to my man, Joe Bloomer. In our first ever draft, talking about the 49ers, they picked Leo the Lion Nomalini at pick number 11. He's in the Hall of Fame now. I did not know that. So, Joe, really do appreciate that. So, you said you believe the best guard tackle type player at pick 11. Is that correct?
So
that's what you're leaning, or
no? So I'm leaning toward I'm going defense. Now that you got your guy here, you know what I'm saying? You go defense. So prior to Senior Bowl, it was best. It wasn't even best guard or tackle. It was the best tackle. Right, I was focusing and zoning in on that tackle, but then I started to realize something. I'm sitting at the Senior Bowl. I'm looking who's here. It's defense, defense, defense. Right? It's John Lynch. What is John Lynch? A defensive minded general manager. Correct. Who's coaching the defensive line? It's KJ Wright. So I'm putting stuff together. Right. And so he's coaching the edge rushers and the defensive interior guys, the tackles. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Who's our coordinator now? Oh, it's Robert Saleh. I know for a fact that it's going to be a defensive lineman. For a fact. So at 11, there's no tackle, in my opinion.
Defensive tackle?
Offensive tackle.
Gotcha.
Or offensive lineman that is worthy of that 11th pick. If anything, you'll be reaching, and then that's where you need to trade back, right? If that's the route that you're going, there's no one I feel like that is worthy of that spot. Not even a kid from LSU. I just don't feel like, because he's a left tackle, and now you try to bring him in here, and you got to force him to learn the right side. Like, we don't got time for that. This is not what the Niners are. They got an offensive line already built. They need to be plugging in some of them holes where they can upgrade center position, maybe the left guard position, things like that. I don't think Mikhivets is as bad as we think he is. But if we can upgrade there later in the draft, for sure. But you draft a player around four
Mikhivets
or five.
Is not our first or second worst offensive lineman. Boom. It's our center and our left guard. Those are the two biggest issues.
Boom. So you got to go where the terror is. And the terror is in the defensive front. Now, I understand that there's some linemen that you can get. It's deep. But there are specific few that will come in and be day one wreckers.
Oh, I love it. Now, before you jump into those, because we're going to talk about those, Daniel Jeremiah put this out. He says, last year he gave a shout out to Invader for rephrasing this. Starter grades for defensive tackles last year, 12 in the draft. This year, 24. 24, double. Dane Brugler just put out his top 100 list, which, again, Dane Brugler is probably a number one draft guy, and I would say Daniel Jeremiah is definitely top three for sure. There are 13 defensive tackles in the top 100 of Dane Brugler's. I'm going to keep saying this. This is the deepest, perhaps best, if the top end guys can perform, best defensive tackle draft in memory. Like, this could go down as the best DT draft of all time.
Hands down.
But you're saying even with that depth, you still think.
You go for the guy that's the perfect fit. You don't go for a guy, you know. This is the defensive draft where you can get the custom-made piece. So do you want the tailored suit, or do you just want a suit that you can wear, right? Or do you want the one that fit your body, hug your titties right? You know what I'm saying? Like, over the breastplate, you know, the perfect, get right across the belly, but you still don't look big, but you got a big belly. Do you want that perfect fit tailored suit? Or do you want to go ahead and settle for a guy that could come in, may be a great defensive tackle, may not be. You're not spending a high pick on that guy. There's some guys. Look, I'm telling you. Listen, and I don't have a first-round grade on Darius Alexander, but he's going to be a high-motor guy. He's going to be a high-powered guy. You could get him in round two, but if you don't get him in round two, he's going to be gone. So now you got to go, am I going run stuff in defensive tackle? Am I going with the big 330, 340 guys? Or am I going to continue to get those guys that are the 300-pound linemen that can rush the pass, that can freaking stop the run? Because that's the key. We got to forget. Yeah, this defensive tackle class is deep, but I need the combo. I need the pass rushing, run stuffing. I don't need a run stuffing pass rush. I need both. And I need them to be able to do both at an excelling rate, because the Niners need to fix the run defense as well as creating pressure. Now, I think they go two defensive tackles in this draft, believe it or not. I think you get the best at what I just said, and then I think you get the big 340 guy. And I ain't going front, bro. Love your kid from Texas, big Alfred Collins. Don't know where he going to go, but, man, you get that 330, 40-pound monster up there in the middle. They ain't running on us, period.
He's a fun player, man. He really, really is. Now, I forget where – I'm scrolling through this list right now. I don't have my notes all up on Dane Brugler's top whatever. But, yeah, he had the defensive tackle, players. Alfred Collins, high. He had him really high.
There's two players right now, defensive tackles, that need to be high on the 49ers big board. It's Mason Graham and it's Walter Nolan. And I'm going to tell you right now, when Walter Nolan tests at the combine, he might be out of the range of the San Francisco 49ers, because he was the best defensive tackle at the Senior Bowl. You might not have heard his name as much, but on day one,
He didn't play in the game.
On day one, he was a wrecking crew. He left day two with an injury. He came back day three, and then he didn't play in the game. Good for him. Business decision. Understand.
I think a lot of the top-tier players are doing that now.
That's like, what happens.
I'll say this about Walter Nolan. Remember, this guy wasn't a top 10 player coming out of high school. He was number one. He was the number one overall player ahead of guys like Travis Hunter. Like, this guy.
And don't
is
forget, two
premium,
big
premium,
major
premium
schools. We're talking Texas A&M.
Oh, that's
and,
not a major school.
I'm sorry. My bad.
I'm just joking. It is.
They create. Where did Myles Garrett go?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm just asking a question.
I played against him, or we coached against him in high school, whenever I was at Duncanville. That dude,
God dang.
Him, I was pissed.
But I'm just saying, man, he started there, transferred to Ole Miss, and was a monster. Now, there's some plays where he gets beat. I'm not going to front. There's some plays in the NFL where players get beat. They're not asking of a player, but it's how you recover after you get beat. And he has the best recovery that I've seen. Now, Mason Graham is my number one. But yeah, are we trading up?
I don't think so. I hope if you could get Mason Graham, cool. But I think Mason Graham's the top three player for me. Like, yeah, he's in my top three. Nolan, and again, just to kind of put this into perspective, Dane Brugler has Walter Nolan at pick 29th overall. So, like,
interesting
where he's going to go there. And Brugler always puts an emphasis on the athletic freaks list. He's on the freaks list. Obviously, he's a beast. But I do think Walter Nolan, fit-wise, perfect for the Niners. And you watch him, I think probably where he excels the most, pass rush is great, all those things are great. You watch him against outside zone, that dude just destroys the hell out of it.
He's
such an athlete, man.
His tape is amazing. Like I said, you're going to see him get powered up one or two times. If you watch the film, you're going to see him get take a shot. Them Georgia big offensive linemen from Georgia, they took a shot on him. But what I loved about that game was the recovery.
It's in my notes. This is what I wrote. Quote, wins a lot of reps after losing early. Just doesn't stay blocked. He'll get reached and still make the tackle. Like, it's just like, how did that guy do this? That's and you'll way. See him just like, rah, like just throw linemen and just be like, he's just out athletes. Sometimes we would always joke when we were coaching and like, we would always say, if you don't know the answer, just tell your kid to be an athlete. And so, like, we had these dumb coaches that played in the NFL. And so, like, we would always joke around because they'd be drawing it up on the board. And the kid would ask a question, like, what do we do if this? And then, like, he was dumb. I won't say who it is. He'd be like, sometimes you just got to be athlete, son. Sometimes you just got to be athlete. And so, like, that was always our, like, go-to. Just be an athlete. Like, that's what you got to do. And he fits that mold completely. So we got Walter Nolan, we got Mason Graham. I want to get to more of your kind of day two, day three guys.
Oh,
you
talked man. About Darius Alexander, Omar Norman Lott. There's a couple of other players. Oh, TJ Sanders. How can I forget TJ Sanders from South Carolina? Those are day two guys.
I want more of you on TJ Sanders, but right after this. The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. Your big basketball guy, who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Shout out to my main man, Bro Montana. Look at this super chat. It says, bro, Wayne, is that your gear? Where can I get that hoodie? Bang, bang, Niner gang. Tell us about it, Wayne.
I appreciate that, man, Bro Montana. Yeah, this is my hoodie, man. You can go to www.twben. That's the Wayne Breezy Entertainment Network. So twben.com/shop, and it's right there.
twben.com/shop. S-O-P. I love it, man. Dude, yeah. Always support. Wayne always, man, he's the best. He got me on these residency hats. Now I have 20. So that's just the way it goes. Working my way up to 25. So we teased a little bit in the industry is what they say. How many do you have?
I got about 20. I got 6 in there, 10 in there, 10 in there. So 26.
I love it.
Man, I had to count. I had to double count.
Wayne had to teach me his ways on these trips. I never knew about the hat.
Oh, the hat case?
Container. The hat case. I never knew that was a thing. My hats would always get jacked up. Now I got two of them. And yeah, I'll bring 7 hats to a 2-day trip. I'm just saying. It's what it is. My dad would be proud. He always wore a baseball cap.
I said back shot.
Oh, Jesus. No, you did not. Stop. We're
shop.
Not talking about
shop.
That.
You know, my shot T's and P's sound the same. I didn't get the phonics.
East Coast. It's not your fault. Yeah. All right. TJ Sanders, South Carolina defensive tackle, 6'3", 284. Yeah. Tell me about him.
Hey, man, I like the man. So he had a great Senior Bowl week. Again, another player that showed up early and sustained. But after that, I think he did his damage and kind of sat down. Like you didn't really see him play much after that. But, I mean, this is get off is good, man. When I look at these defensive tackles, I look for two things. The first thing I'm looking for is their get off. I want to see how
GTFO.
GT. Shoot. putting that on a shirt. GTFO. So the get off, right? And so like that's the first thing that I look. Then the second thing is I watch to see how many reps they play before they come out. That's called motor. So now I'm looking for the motor of the player. TJ Sanders is a wrecking crew up front, right? So it's not about him rushing the passer. It's about him being able to sustain and get off of those blocks so those linebackers can come down and fill in the gaps. He's not your biggest interior defense. He's not the 300-pound guy, but he can slip through these cracks and he can get to the quarterback. He can get you some production in the pass rushing game. But again, he's a combo guy. So Darius Alexander, TJ Sanders, and I go with the bigger guy, Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee. Like those would be some really good day two interior guys. And the day three guys, man, look, Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech.
Pass rusher.
I mean, the power of this, I don't know if he's little. I don't know. He just has too much power. And if you allow him to ignite the power, good luck. He's running your center over. Like, he's running through the offensive line. Like, literally. Really good hand work. There's guys that didn't play in the Senior Bowl that I like C.J. West out of in Indiana. Another big pass-rushing guy with a lot of power up front. So there's some there's some dangerous players. The draft is deep at the defensive line. That's why I think a lot of players want to go with the edge rusher like Mike Green first because the depth of that. But Mike Green is going to be a special player. And my question is, will he always be able to win? Because if I'm drafting edge rusher, they got to be able to do two things. They got to be able to win one-on-ones, and they got to be able to set the edge in the run game and be a damage in the run game. And I'm not saying that he can't, but he's got to do it consistently all the time. And I don't know if I want to spend – I don't know if I want that to be the pick because I know if I need somebody to just rush the passer, I could get some other guys a little bit later on. Like, you know what I mean? I could get my David Walker from Central Arkansas. I could get Josiah Stewart from Michigan. These are guys that got the perfect – when I look for edge rushing, John, I look for guys with the perfect speed-to-power ratio. Like, it's got to be the ratio.
Josiah's quick, man. He's quick.
And he got the
better
hand
3-4 fit, but if you just want a Pierce rusher, yeah, he's his arm length too.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak.
Shout out to my man Ben.
Shout out to Ben.
He's the best, but he's put together like this awesome like wingspan thing. Josiah Stewart, 82.5 wingspan. To put that into perspective, LeBron's got 84. He's got an 84.
Bro.
Like you're talking, you're an inch off of LeBron James' arm length? Like, that's a trip,
it's
man.
It's really cool watching these guys in their one-on-ones, right? Because it's like, dang, like, they're winning, like, multiple reps. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's his step. And so, like, if he's standing up or if he's got his hand in the dirt in the three-point stance, it's his quick first step. So there's a difference. It's that first step. It's like a twitch to where you don't know if you're going to get speed or power. And I think he's just tricking people. He's just tricking people. And so, like, oh, I didn't even talk about the big Kenneth Grant. If you want to go big guy and interior, too. He's a day two guy, too, as well. I didn't mention him. So
he was one of the people getting mocked to Niners early when the draft process first started in the first round.
Then they started seeing the Senior Bowl.
I always thought it was too rich. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they started seeing the guys at the Senior Bowl. But that's a big run stuffer, man. Like, that, you want to stop the run? Good luck stopping that big, powerful guy, 6'3", powerful kid, 345 pounds. Like I said, there's plenty of – I think the Niners go two DTs, and I think they go edge rusher here, too. So I think three guys on the line is what they're going to invest in draft picks, and that's what you need to do because we just watched the formula. It's having rotation, young, fresh, depth. Which we knew was the formula from the jump because the last time we seen a team like that was when they defeated the undefeated team in the NFL, the Patriots. And it was the Giants when they had the fresh edge rushers, Justin Tuck, and them coming off the bench.
One of my biggest issues with the 49ers in their current state is snap counts. And Eric Armstead is probably like the core example. Like, everybody's like, man, Armstead's great. He just gets injured all the time. Well, you look at Armstead, his last 3 years with the Niners, averaged over 55 plus snaps per game. Well, we tell him take a pay cut. He says, screw it. Goes, gets paid way more money than we were offering him. Guess how many games Armstead played in this year? All 17. Didn't miss one game. Well, he was averaging 25 snaps a game. So they, like,
oh, I see where you're going. I see where you're going.
We don't have the depth in the ground
because we don't have the depth. Okay. Let me correct what I'm saying. We don't have the top caliber depth. Like, right? So we got players we could rotate in. When you put them in, it's a big drop off. And that's the issue with the San Francisco 49ers. That's why they got to use this draft. You get a lineman next year. Trent Williams will be gone probably next year. That's when you focus on the left tackle next year. Worry about that next year. But this year, this draft is loaded to where you can get high quality depth, literally. And so they got to figure that out. With Robert Saleh being back in the helm, and let's just say he's one and done, he can literally help set this team up for the future by drafting these defensive front players. And I think we get faster in the secondary. We didn't even get to that. That's a whole nother show.
That is another show. I want to stick with D-line because I think that the Niners have valued defensive line, obviously. I just think they've done it wrong. And we could go back to the very – you spent the number 3 overall pick on Solomon Thomas when Mahomes and, you know, lots of dudes were just sitting there. Like, obviously, he didn't work out. You trade prime capital and pay for D Ford injuries. You trade away DeForest Buckner because you bet on Arik Armstead, but you played him way too much. We just talked about that. You spent a first-round pick on Javon Kinlaw. Injuries didn't work out. Second-round pick on Drake Jackson. That's been a complete miss. Javon Hargrave, you paid top-tier money for somebody that's done it back-to-back-to-back-to-back years. That was awful. Jordan Hill, like, it's not like the Niners have neglected the position. The Niners have missed.
Never said that, but you're right. I've never said they neglected it.
No. I'm not putting that on you.
No, you're 100% correct when you say they've missed. They've missed badly, though. Missed badly.
It's free agency and draft.
It's Nick Bosa. Yeah. Give me another number two. We could put Leonard Floyd in.
DJ Jones.
There. Nope.
DJ Jones worked.
He was all right.
He was good that one year. That one year he was That's awesome.
The year he left.
Yeah.
Contract year, right? Usually players step up that year.
Now you have that, it's just
you ain't hear his name at all. But do you go get him back?
I'd be cool with it as a depth piece, not a starter. I don't think he's a starter level player anymore.
I would be comfortable with him if something was to happen.
I'd take him over Jordan Elliott. I'm not a Jordan Elliott guy, and I'm a Longhorn fan. Jordan Elliott's just so inconsistent.
Can you imagine him and Malik Collins being the depth over him and Jordan Elliott being depth? Now
and
we
both
talk
those
about
guys
language.
Should be depth. Both those guys should be depth. They shouldn't be starters.
I've been trying to tell people, man. Listen, I like Malik, man. I like what he did, man. Number 3 and thinking sacks on the team. Hey, I can live with it. But, man, can you imagine if he was the rotation and we had the solidified piece up there? Because he struggles against the run game. He's great in pass rushing, but it's always the run defense. These guys struggle.
Yeah. So here's what I saw somebody put this in the comments, and I apologize. I started twice and I lost it. Here's the current defensive line, defensive tackle depth chart. Javon Hargrave, he's gone. Bye. Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens, Khalil Davis, Evan Anderson. Khalil Davis, not Khalil Davis. That's what we got. Like, Evan Anderson shows promise. Khalil Davis is a fringe player in the NFL, not a fringe starter. He is a practice squad, elevate in case of emergency type guy.
I think a guy like Everett Anderson beats him out, right?
Yes,
he's on the ERFA. Yeah, he's on the ERFA contract. I wouldn't be surprised if he's given a contract and he becomes.
Givens is a free agent. Yes, that is correct. Yeah. But like our defensive, this is garbage. It's you don't have one starter.
I'm trying to tell people, man.
You don't have one.
You got to address, and I wouldn't spend any freaking money. You spent money last year, right? You brought in Jordan Elliott, right? And you traded from Malik Collins. So you spent draft capital and money on defensive line interior. We talk about the interior, right? You also spent money on the outside guys like Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. Boom. So you spent money last year. They got one more year left on their deals. Boom. Period.
Not one of them played to their value. Not
absolutely.
One.
Well, maybe Floyd, right? He gave you
later,
gave
whenever they cut his snaps. When they cut his snaps halfway through the season.
Well, I said he needs to be a rotational piece.
Yes. Thank you.
That's what we were saying.
We're on the same.
Like, I don't understand. Like, He gets double digit sacks every year of his career when he runs, when he has less than 30 snaps. But they had to wait for the health of Gross Matos, because that might have been the plan all along. But Gross was injured on the IR at the beginning of the season. Then it took him several weeks to get back to himself. So those go back to depth pieces.
Yeah.
Get me a pass rusher that can just rush the passer. He's fresh. Get me that guy. He can learn under a guy like Leonard Floyd, learn under these guys, and draft the interior, man. Fix the front, man. Stop the run. Rush the passer.
And I'll say this, too, going back to the Super Bowl, kind of bridging this together. Like, Fangio, I know we know Fangio as this 3-4, you know, odd defensive line, whatever else. No. That dude's running a wide nine majority of the Super Bowl.
It was a 4-3 defense, too.
It was a 4-2-5, 4-3 defense, running quarters coverage. That's what we do. The scheme is not wrong. So for the people that are like, oh, the wide nine don't work. But man, you go watch that clip rolling around of Nolan Smith. We ain't got the players on the inside, and we don't have players on the edge. We have the linebacker and Fred Warner, the central piece. But we just don't have. And so in this 4-2-5 wide nine system, you put an overemphasis on defensive tackles, not an under, because they are even more valuable because they are taking up combo, double blocks, duo, whatever you want to call it. You have to have anchors. We don't have those. Jordan Elliott can't do that. Didn't do it at Texas. Didn't do it at Missouri. Didn't do it at Cleveland. Didn't do it with the Niners. You have four separate locations where this dude can't hold against a double team. And Kyle Shanahan gets out here, and I love Kyle, says he's our best run defender. I cussed. I was grabbing that clip, and I didn't have my mic mute off the YouTube, and I cussed. It's like, what the? I was like, what did you just say? What'd you just say to me? Jason says we got a UFL starting D line, and again, not because they neglected it, but because they've been wrong in the personnel choices. And I've been saying all offseason, the injuries are big, but the reason why the 49ers are bad or missed the playoffs is not because of injuries mattered. It's because of misuse of how to diagnose talent and use your talent and identifying talent. Niners haven't done that on the D line specifically. So here's my question for you, Wayne. Appreciate CA40C for the super chat. Who makes the draft decision, Kyle or John? If it's Kyle, it's offensive weapons early. If it's John, it's in the trenches. Take it away, Wayne.
Well, I think it's a mixture, right? I think, you know, John is the guy that builds the relationships early with these players. And like John just said, when it comes to drafting in the trenches, that's where John wants to build. And I think that's where the need is. You got to go back to 2017. What did we address in free agency? We got weapons, Kyle Juszczyk. You got those guys. And then in the draft, what did John do? First time as a GM? Oh, I know what he did. And I'm hoping he follows the same blueprint. I got a freaking crazy like thing. He went Solomon Thomas, and he traded back up in the first round and got Reuben Foster. Well, hell, John Lynch, you can get Walter Nolan and trade back up in the first round and get Jahai Campbell, the linebacker out of Alabama. Because if you're not going to re-sign Dre Greenlaw, then you want the best weak side cover linebacker in college football. And it's not Jalen Walker. It's not Jalen Walker. It's Jahai Campbell out of Alabama. Look him up. I promise you, the kid on film flies around. You want the best coverage, best tackling linebacker at the same time. If we're not going to bring back Greenlaw, we need to upgrade the linebacking position. And you reset the market, because now you're just paying Fred Warner.
Yeah, I ain't mad about that. I do think that if Kyle pounds the table, Kyle gets what Kyle wants. Kyle hired John Lynch.
Now,
theoretically, John Lynch has final say so on all personnel decisions, but he is the number two. Who does number two work for? He's the number two to Kyle Shanahan.
You're 100% correct, but where I'm going with this is I think they're going back to the drawing board, and the thing that Kyle allowed John to do early, I think he's going to allow John to do again. Listen, Kyle, you just watched the Super Bowl. How'd they win that game? In the trenches. Say less. Who you trust? Like, I'm telling you, and this is where KJ Wright comes in. Who did KJ Wright talk to? Who did he work with? Who did he build the rapport with? Who does he feel like? And that's all John Lynch orchestrating, right? Kyle is trusting. I think Kyle, for another episode, is getting back into trusting his guys. And I think that was the key. Kyle was here. Kyle was micro. He was too much micromanaging the San Francisco 49ers. He was taking on too much more than he could handle. And because of that, the Niners, you know, they just have times where they can go. They went down. They went down. And, yeah, we could blame it on injuries. We could blame it on whatever. But we also know that part of it is coaching. Kyle Shanahan wasn't the best of himself this past
season. And he said that. And one of my favorite Kyle stories, I'll go back to this, when he was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans way back in the day, they had the number one overall pick, and Charlie Casserly was the GM, and he went about it. Every single position coach had a choice. Do we draft Mario Williams, or do we draft Reggie Bush?
I remember
they went through the whole entire staff, and when they got to Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, who do we draft? Kyle said, Mario Williams, get the edge.
Yes, he did, get the edge.
And it was the right call. It was because the right call.
I think people keep forgetting that Kyle looks at his offense from a defensive mind. He came in on a defensive mind. He wasn't a defensive coordinator, but he came in sitting in on those meetings to understand what defenses were doing, which makes him somewhat of why he coined that term genius, because he was prepping the offense based off of his defensive mindset that he had. And so that's why I think Kyle Shanahan is like, listen, man, you go get me, you get me the edge rusher. Because the edge rusher, I mean, if you're drafting picks 1 through 5, it's edge rusher. If you're drafting picks 1 through 15, you could go edge rusher or defensive tackle, right? But you got to address the front.
Got to.
You know how good Quinnen Williams is? Like that's the Walter Nolan of this draft. He's the Quinnen Williams of this draft.
Ooh, that's,
and we missed out on that pick because we drafted Nick Bosa.
I remember people were on here were saying draft Quinnen Williams over Bosa, and I was like, no. And it wouldn't have been a bad pick. It would have been a bad pick.
Because
he's an all-pro. Like all-pro player, but
I'm not saying that he's a bad player. It would have been a bad pick because he wouldn't have fit what we were trying to do at that time. Like, we needed the edge rushing. You had to go Nick Bosa.
Still do. All right, Wayne, you are the best. I appreciate this. And, dude, I got to say, man, we've been doing this show a long time together, you and I.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, you cover the Senior Bowl and you come back with all this passion and all this stuff about these players, and it's just – I feel like we're getting spoiled over here, man. So I just want to say appreciate all the hard work. I know that's tiring flying down there. I'm glad you didn't get stuck like Brad did. I don't know if you saw his. I was like, dude, he got Wayne Breezy's travel thing back from the Super Bowl. He got stuck everywhere.
Oh, yeah, no, he told me, like, his luggage got lost at the Senior. It was just crazy, man. It was crazy, but we got to chop it up and chill. It was pretty cool.
All right, Wayne, take us out of here, man. This has been a blast. Where can we catch your next show? Give us the details. How do we watch, support Wayne Breezy?
Just go to the Wayne Breezy channel. Listen, two things you could do for me, right? Number one, go to @TheWayneBreezy on YouTube. Just click on that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed.
Cost you nothing.
And if you want to support the channel, it'll cost you $2, all right? $1.99 to be exact. So you save a penny, you can become a member of the Breezy Bunch crew, and you'll get all the exclusivity to the Wayne Breezy channel. So go ahead and check that out, man. I appreciate everybody. But listen, faithful, season's over. The new season's about to begin. March 12th is soon to come. Free agency is going to hit, and the Niners are building back their dynasty. It starts with coaching, and one thing you can say about Kyle Shanahan, it sounds like he's focused on getting that right. You get the coaching right, you'll get the draft right, you'll get free agency right, and the 49ers will be right back in Super Bowl 60. Here we come, baby. 49ers Rush, the Wayne Breezy, John Chapman. Until next time. Peace.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly.